with the Small Business Association and these loans. I actually got to submit my application through my bank, which felt like I achieved a milestone. Hi, I'm Melissa McAvoy, co-owner of Swirlery Wine Bar with my partner, Damian Roman. So I'm just still waiting for the universe to answer me.
Got some applications going, and now it's just kind of the waiting game. My name is Rob Chase, and I'm the owner of Digress Wine in College Park. That would really make a huge difference. I mean, you know, it's been going well, but I'm still scraping by, really. And you know, any bad bounce here could be real trouble. So having that sort of cushion, you know, that would ease so much stress, you know. And you know, I haven't taken a paycheck in 3 weeks, so it's all kind of, you know, it's getting a little tighter out here.
The COVID-19 pandemic is deep into its second month, and for the businesses and employees affected by the economic fallout, help is slow to arrive. In Orlando, Florida, one of America's hospitality centers, the food and wine business is taking a big hit. And some who work in the industry are realizing their worlds may be changing for good. I'm Judith Smelser, creator of Orlando Wine Blog, and this is Unwinding, following the stories of Central Florida's wine professionals via Skype as they navigate the changing world of COVID-19.
It's day 27 here in our house since I've last been to work. Our fridge is starting to run empty. I still have a lot in the freezer, though.
My name is Christina Peebles. I am a server, bartender, and certified sommelier. I've been in the business for about 14 years now, and I am a Florida native.
If you cook, do you have all the ingredients, or are you going to risk going to the grocery store for more ingredients? And the grocery stores are packed. Wendy Lopez from Reyes Mezcaleria has partnered up with Jose Andres, and they've been giving out meals once a week. So I went yesterday, and then I'm going back today. Sometimes it does make it a little easier to not grocery shop because of the risk factor versus at Reyes. You just drive up. They have about space for 4 or 5 cars, and then they ask for your name to check the RSVP, and then they go ahead and just, you pop the trunk and then you're gone. Yesterday was a sandwich with some potato salad and a brownie, and then I'm not sure what it is today, but she ended up giving me quite a few more meals because people weren't RSVPing and they prepared to make more. And this week compared to last week wasn't as high traffic, so she gave me a bunch of extra meals. So I gave them to a couple neighbors that I had who are struggling, who aren't in the service industry and don't know about some of the local community outreach that's going on in order to, you know, give meals to people in need. One of the ladies, she currently has breast cancer. Like, she shouldn't be going to a store at all, and they're going to a store once a week. So even one meal will help push that day back at least a day.
So this week has been a little bit more quiet. I think people are not panicking as much, not so much stockpiling. I'm not seeing so much by way of case sales. It's a little bit more consistent, a few bottles here, a few bottles there. Still doing cases, but people also just want to get the hell out. So they grab a couple bottles, they know they're gonna have a reason to come back in a day or two and grab a couple more. So I think people have figured it out that, you know, we're gonna be here unless anything changes. So there's no mad dash to go ahead and stock up, and you know, we can take a little bit more leisurely route with that. I liked it much better when people were panicking buying larger quantities. But yeah, of course it makes me nervous. I mean, really, you know, what makes me the most nervous is that people are, and it's completely understandable. They're wanting to hit as few spots as possible. And, you know, after you've gone to Publix, you know, even though we're easy in and out, doing curbside and everything, I mean, it's just one less stop to make.
This is a holiday week, you know? I think people still, families still will have a nice Easter dinner. And I think that should boost wine sales, I would hope. We have a holiday six pack this week that pairs great with a lot of the classic dishes that people might still enjoy for their Easter dinner, whether it be, you know, like ham or turkey. So we've kept that in mind, you know, chocolate Easter bunnies. We've put a port into the mix just for a good chocolate pairing. We're definitely coming up with a new six pack every week. Sometimes we add an additional two pack or an additional three pack just to stay in front of our audience and get them to come back and try something new.
So Duck and Drake is a newer food truck. They've been around since late last summer is when we started working with them. It's Tiberto and Brona, his wife, and their daughters working here. So when we were, you know, full service here, you could come hang out at the bar, grab a glass, grab a bottle, order from the truck. And they'd bring in everything, you know, all plated properly as if you were sitting down, you know, in a fine dining restaurant. They really wanted to step away from the kind of eating out of a box. We've done a couple pairing dinners with them. You know, right before all this, we did a great champagne kind of picnic in the cellar, which was a lot of fun. They've been shut down now. I think it's been about 2 weeks. The grab and go was going okay, but I think you know, they were just a little bit nervous about, you know, their family's health, and it's a legit whole family operation. So they decided to just take a breather, see what happens, and now I think being cooped up is, they've gotten enough of that. So I believe we're gonna start next week and just do, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, see how it goes. They've been a huge part of kind of the next chapter here, and I miss them. It's time to get back in action.
This is Christina. My boyfriend. We've been in a relationship for like 7 years. We've worked five jobs together. We are used to working together, waking up together, being together all the time. But when you really have nowhere else to go, it does become a little more, you get annoyed at little things more often. I got yelled at the other day because I didn't know how to load a dishwasher. And I was thinking to myself, like, we have been together how many years? I've been doing the dishes my entire life. And now, at 35, almost 36 in a couple weeks. Now I don't know how to load a dishwasher. And I think he gets annoyed with it, and I'm writing it off to, this is just stress. This is just stress. You know what I mean? And then the next morning, it's fine. And then towards the end of the night, we just start getting annoyed. And it's not over anything. It's not anything out of, you know, falling out of love or distrust or anything like that. Like, that has nothing to do with it. Like, the love is definitely still there, but trying to find the compassion towards each other in those moments of, like, annoyance has become I just need to go to another room. Like, there's nothing even to argue about. We just need, like, our own space.
I have, a couple people helped me out on Sunday and Monday. That's been huge, just you know, to keep from feeling burnt out, to get a little extra time, you know, walking around or at the house or what have you. So finally getting myself back on my bicycle and cruising around, and, you know, just trying to work out some of the some of the stress, that anxiety that's just kind of looming for everybody.
This is Melissa. After, you know, being inside of Swirlery all day, and a lot of this work is in front of the computers with doing, you know, paperwork and applications with, you know, all of these SBA loans. And when the time, you know, you get home, you just really want to not be in front of the computer for a moment and just let go of everything and just be at peace with nature, you know. Just taking walks around the neighborhood after the sunset with Damien, because it's quite enjoyable. And we've just been also enjoying time in our backyard, just sitting down there. We live on a small lake. We've been getting this little pool called the Mini Dip. And the first one popped. So then we got another one, and we were going to be very delicate with it and gentle. And then some animal popped it. I don't know if it was an armadillo or a raccoon, but we're hoping to get our third mini dip. So I am studying to take the theory exam with the Court of Master Sommeliers of America in 2021. That's definitely a little monkey on my shoulder, always saying, hey, study, study, study. Nothing's been said about whether or not they will actually test. Theory is in July. So if they do cancel theory, my test date could theoretically get pushed back a year just out of the capacity being hit.
So this is Christina. When you're studying for a sommelier exam, whether it be the WSET or the Court of Master Somms, you tend to make outlines and notes and find your own method to learn. So somebody asked on the site, oh, does anybody have a outline or notes that you may have? Well, I ended up emailing this girl this note, my notes, and she ended up posting about it. And I've had over like 70 people studying, asking me for these notes. So that's been just really kind of uplifting for my spirit as well. Just to know that somebody out there is on the other side and they're studying too.
This is Melissa. I'm actually going to be off on Easter for the first time in 19 years, which is crazy because I always work Sundays at Disney. It just feels like now it's like about like survival, you know, because I don't have, you know, my excess income coming in from my other job to take care of me at home. So that is something that's completely different. You know, I never really had to think about that. The money was always just coming in, you know, and now it's not. So, yes. And I mean, I have a savings because, you know, I'm a good saver. But, you know, I don't know how long this is going to go on for. What I did was I said, you know, for us to survive, you know, on a monthly lookout here, you know, what do we need to make to keep this place afloat, you know, to pay the rent, to pay the utilities, the insurance, and all of the other things that come along with this. And now also to think about, you know, our own personal lives as well, because, you know, I lost my second job as well. And just kind of to take that all into accountability here and find out, you know, what's that bare minimum number that we need to hit just to keep everything afloat. Based upon us being here, you know, 6 days a week, we have this magical number we need to hit to pay everyone, and then divide it by the days that we're here operating the business. It's a whole new way of looking at things. I just never really, really looked at it as the way we're looking at it now. I never said we have to, I mean, it just happens on its own, you know? I never really was like, okay, we need to hit this number. I think that things are definitely going to change when this is over. You know, I'm definitely going to be focusing more on Swirlery. than on Disney. Like, I guess the bottle's finally been pulled. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. The bottle's been ripped away from me. And I don't know if the bottle's ever going to be that good anymore. This is a new challenge that we're facing, and we're hoping that it works out.
So this is Christina. I got a call from my mom that her symptoms were worse. So her primary care physician gave her a couple prescriptions. She's now done with them. They didn't touch her symptoms. Her primary care physician is now refusing to see her and is making her either go to the health department or the emergency room, which her last trip to a CentraCare-like facility, the doctor wasn't wearing a mask or gloves when he was taking her vitals, when she came in saying, hey, I think I'm symptomatic. So my mom's scared to go back to that sort of a facility again, much less go to the hospital, because she thinks her symptoms aren't bad enough, but it is alarming when you do have shortness of breath, coughing, sore throat, and a fever. So she finally got tested. She went back to the place where the guy didn't have a mask on or anything. And they actually had a tent outside where they come to your car and they do it in the car. Because DeLand, there were two spots that you could go in the county, and you had to have a recommendation from a doctor. And the test will be back in 7 to 10 business days. But the day before, I ended up going over to her house. And when I went to see her, she looked better. But I can tell that she's barely trying to talk, because if she really starts talking to me, she's going to start coughing. So that was a little disheartening, but I was really, really happy to see her and just be able to, you know, sit across from her in her yard at a significant distance and be able to just spend an hour with her and see, you know, how she's been coping as well. I come home, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And then I started feeling like I was getting a sore throat. So it's like 4 o'clock now, and I went to take a nap. I woke up like 3.5 hours later and felt horrible. And I was like, okay, let me check and see if I have a temperature. And now I'm like, okay, now I have a sore throat. Now I have a temperature. I'm exhausted. And then I start to panic, thinking, is this it? Like, is this part of being symptomatic? Is this how it comes on? And then I took a ton of probiotics. I drank a ton of water. I started fasting for a day to try to just rest my digestive tract and my system, just to try to get some sleep. And then today I feel 80 to 90% better. A little bit of a sore throat, but like, I went for a bike ride today. I wouldn't have been able to do that over the last 48 hours. So I don't know what that was, but whatever it was, it scared me to death, and I'm glad it's gone, and I pray to God it's still gone.
I haven't been off in 19 years for Easter. I think about it and how much I want to go spend it with my mom and my grandma. But I am going to have dinner at my home here in Orlando with Damien. Obviously, not going to work at Disney is a change. Being that I've worked for Walt Disney World for 19 years, I have to have, natural looking hair dye. So I have wanted to get some highlights, just like magenta or purple or blue, and I haven't done it yet. I have to do it myself. Damien's a little nervous. He doesn't want me to screw my hair up. I probably would need his help.
You know, I'm still kind of separating myself from the kids while, you know, we're waiting to see what happens to Florida. So just being in contact with as many people as I am here, we're just going to be a little bit more cautious. You know, FaceTime, lots of texts, lots of sending memes and whatever we can do to just keep in touch. You know, fortunately, I had to put my dog down. He was 12. His name was Lucky. He was neurotic Australian Shepherd, Border Collie. He just had a lot of issues his whole life with his hips. And, you know, he had a tough time walking. He ended up having some kind of respiratory issues at the end. And it was just, it was kind of a quick decline, but it was the end of the road for him. So he ended up, I went to a vet and they weren't allowing anybody in the building. So, you know, there's no way I was going to have them do it without me there. So we ended up bringing him up to Andrea's, my ex's house. And we had a mobile vet come, and, you know, the kids and I sat outside with him for a couple hours in the sun, and we all saw him off, and it was just too sad. But I was at least happy that we could all do that together.
It's still going okay. Every day you think like, oh my God, am I going to be able to get through this? You know, okay, yesterday was good. Can we have another good day? You know, can we hit our goal? And each day we do keep hitting our goal. And so for that, we're so grateful and hopeful that we can just maintain through the next several weeks.
Every day is totally nerve-wracking, honestly. I mean, like, I think despite what I've convinced myself of over the years, I am a little bit of a chronic optimist. And so, you know, each day, it just takes a little bit to come through the door for me to feel a little bit better. You know, I am hoping that we really don't get devastated down here in Florida and there's not a huge wave of infections. And I mean, I'm still kind of convinced that we haven't really gotten hit yet. Who knows? If we can just ride this out for a little bit, then I feel that it'll be okay. But that still doesn't take into account the huge job loss here. And, you know, I know a lot of trade people that shop here, and some are still coming by, but they haven't been working. And, you know, this is going to be something they have to take out of their budget soon. You know, there's no way around it. So I think we'll see some of that start to kind of disappear. I think it's only inevitable.
Thanks to Rob Chase, Melissa McAvoy, and Christina Peebles for sharing their stories. We'll continue to follow them as the COVID-19 story unfolds. If you work in the wine industry, please share your story too. Record a short voice memo on your phone and email it to orlandowineblog@gmail.com. Unwinding is a production of Orlando Wine Blog. You can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Orlando Wine Blog. Thanks to Orlando musician Julian Bond for providing original music for Unwinding, Amy Tardiff for editorial guidance, and to WMFE for distribution and promotion assistance. I'm Judith Smelser. Cheers, and thanks for listening.